Amen, amen, amen. If you would, just bow your heads just for a quick minute. Thank you, Lord, and we bless you, Lord, just for the power of fellowship. Lord, thank you for the just the blessing it is, Lord, just to touch someone and say good morning, a smile, a hug, and hello, Lord. What a blessing it is. So we ask now that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. That your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord, as we try our best, Lord, to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world, Lord. We need the illumination of your word more today than we did yesterday. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Let us know how to live, how to think, how to act, how to love, how to care. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. We're open our hearts and minds to receive what your word will share with us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 4 and verse 39. As we celebrate communion this morning, we think about what Jesus Christ did when he split time in half 2017 years ago. So we never want to take communion for granted. We never want to take what God did for granted. Separates Jesus Christ from everyone else. Others died and stayed buried, and Jesus Christ resurrected on that third day, split time in half, appeared to the disciples for 40 days, teaching them on sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what separates Jesus Christ from everyone else. There was a guy named Harry Houdini. He was a great, magician, escape artist. Easy for me to say, right? And every Halloween, his followers go to his gravesite and wait for him to escape from the grave. It's not going to happen. It's only one person did that. And that's why we worship him only. So as we celebrate communion, always be mindful that it's pretty awesome what Jesus Christ did. To be able to go over to Israel and take communion at the empty tomb and walk in that empty tomb, it's very powerful. So as we celebrate communion the first Sunday of each month, we're always mindful. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Because he knew that there'd be wars and rumors of wars. He knew there'd be marriages and divorce and bills and kids and family and friends. He said, never lose your perspective. Just remember, keep a biblical perspective on the world. Do this in remembrance of me. And so what we've been doing the last few months on the first Sunday, just doing an independent message that has to do with just the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. And then next week we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming. Amen. So we pick up the commentary, John 4 and 39. Jesus had just met a woman at the well. It's very problematic. Number one, he's talking to a woman, which back then the men really didn't talk to the women unless it was pretty much their wife. But he's talking to this woman, and then he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan, and they have a deep hatred for each other. It's a racial thing that goes way back. So it's very problematic. His disciples come and he's talking to this lady. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Not only that, it's a Samaritan. He's going to Galilee, and the shortcut is through Samaria. Now, normally, most Jews, they go around, all of them go around. Because they don't want to deal with them. They had no dealings with them. It's like, you know, when I was growing up, Roy in the hood, it was the Crips and the Bloods, okay? You didn't go through that hood. You walked all the way around because it could be a problem. Amen? And for those of you in the South, it's certain areas that you don't go through because there's going to be a problem because of the color of your skin. Don't do it. So here it is right here. I mean, here what's going on. And Jesus, he walks through Samaria. meets a woman at the well. We pick it up in verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I have ever did. So they believed on Jesus Christ based upon the word of the woman. Now here it is. Make a note. There's only two ways that people find out about Jesus Christ. Someone tells them, or they read it in the word. So that's for me and you. Make sure that we tell people, even if we don't get along, if they don't look like us, don't smell like us, don't act like us, don't talk like us, you can still share Jesus Christ with them. Because he breaks down all racial barriers. Goes all across political lines. He doesn't discriminate. Remember, Jesus is more inclusive than anyone. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just a matter of do we call on his name or not. So because of her, many believe. Because he had told me all that I ever had and ever did. And so if you want to find out, let's take a quick look at, just go look at John 4, same chapter, but look at verses 16 through 19. So she's asking about the water that you never thirst again. He's talking about everlasting life. Jesus is, the water that we never have to thirst for again once we have Christ. So we pick it up in 16. Jesus said unto, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Verse 18, but you have had five husbands. And he that whom you are with now is not your husband. So you said it true. You were real. It's kind of tough to be real with God, although he knows everything anyway. Amen. That's all Jesus is looking for, somebody to be real. We don't have to play and pretend that we have it all together. We're sharing with someone the other day. I think it was the youth. We were sharing our purpose and purity class. If we invited people or if we came to church because we had it all together, then nobody would be here. Let's get that clear right now. Might as well close the door if you're looking for perfect people to come through here. If you're looking for people to have it all together, that's why we come here, so God can help us and instruct us to get it together. Amen. But God is looking for you to be honest. He's looking for you to be real. That's all Jesus was asking. He said, you answered well. You're real. At least you're real. Then the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. So here we go. Let's go back to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did, because God knows all. So number one, always be real with God, because he knows anyway. God, I'm struggling, but help me through my struggle. God, I'm not close to having it all together, but with your help, I believe I can get it together. So all God is looking for, someone to be honest with him. Any relationship, somebody say amen, any relationship. Amen. You're looking for trust and honesty. Other than that, it's an abnormal relationship. We talked about it before. During praise and worship, we sang songs to God and we say, God, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you. And then it comes time to give and we say, God, I don't trust you. So I tell the married men, when you get a quiet time tonight with your wife, tell her, honey, you know, I love you, but I don't trust you. And see how that goes. See how that goes. Let me know. Matter of fact, I'm sure I get a few calls tonight. Pastor, we need some counseling. Well, I was just playing, all right? I didn't think he was really going to do it. But that's an abnormal relationship. It has to have trust. It has to have honesty. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they begged him that he would stay with them. And he stayed with them 2 days. Make a note, another note. They came to Christ and they begged him to stay. They were seeking God. They were going after the presence of God. They made the presence of God a priority. Ladies and gentlemen, make the presence of God a priority. When was the last time you begged God to just stay? When was the last time you got up early and you went after God and you were seeking God's face and you said, God, I need you to be with me. It's okay to beg God, God, I need you. And not just when I'm in trouble, but I need you all the time. Most times it's hard to decipher and get to God because we have so much going on that we can't even stop and pause and seek and get a clear mind to go after God. Sometimes we got to clear stuff out the way so that we can hear God. We can seek God. We got so much going on. We got to pause. We got to slow down. I recommend every morning you should not leave the house without pausing, thanking God, reading a scripture, listen to a worship song, and then get out your door. Find a 1 minute worship song, a 2 minute worship song. And if you're too busy to give God 2 minutes, then you are too busy. If you're too busy each morning to give God 5 minutes, then you are too busy. Just go to bed 5 minutes earlier at night, right? Does it work like that? If I go to bed 5 minutes earlier, I should be able to get up 5 minutes earlier. If I go to bed 30 minutes early, then I get up 30 minutes. But if God's that important, like they went after God and then they begged him to stay, if he's that important, if your relationship with God is that important, then you make time to do it. And remember, it's not a religious thing. Don't make this a religious thing where I get up and I fast and I pray and I don't make it. It's a relationship thing where God, I'm going through so much. There's so much uncertainty in the world that I need to know everything that you have for me, and I don't want to miss it. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to seek your face because you have all the answers. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. It's something I need from God because I don't have a clue as to what the day might bring, but God does. So I go after God. So you got to clear some things out. It's like that that TV show that I used to watch. I used to watch, and this got a little too weird for me, but where they had all that clutter and stuff, what's it called? Hoarders. Yeah. I used to think it was funny. I realized that people just have a problem where it's just, and it got sad. It's like, man, that's kind of tough. But it's like our heart and mind has just got so much stuff. Who's seen that show before? Anybody? Yeah, man, that's a tough one. And you can't navigate. You can't. And when your heart and mind is just like them, you're not going to find God in that mess. When your heart and mind is cluttered with all that stuff, you ain't going to find God in that mess. You got to pause. You got to slow down. You got to clear some stuff. You got to pray. You got to meditate. You got to clear it out. And then you can see God. But with all that stuff going on in our heart and mind and everything's vying for your time and pulling you here and pulling you there. And if you don't pause, you ain't going to find God in that mess. And then you say, well, God doesn't speak to me. No, it's too much clutter. You're a hoarder. You're a spiritual hoarder. You got to clear that stuff out. You're not going to hear God. And then you think people weird. So, yeah, I spend time. I hear from God. I've cleaned some stuff out. But you ain't going to find God in that mess. That mess of a mind you got, that mess of a heart you got. You ain't going to find God. It's too much stuff going on. God, try and clear a path. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. But look at verse 41. I love this. And many believe because of his own word. All right. So the lady, she shared with them, but then they heard God for themselves and they believed based upon the word of God. Remember, two ways people are going to find out about God: either we share or they read the word. And most people aren't going to read the word, so we need to be out there sharing the word with them. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of you, not because of what you said. All right. You're not going to believe because of what the pastor said. You're going to believe once you spend time with God, because I can't live this thing for you. I can't. Your husbands, your wife can't live it for you. Wives, your husband can't live it for you. Kids, your parents can't live it for you. It's personal. You got to get into the word for yourself. I'd love to stand on my grandma's shoulders and say she goes to church and she's a woman of God, but it doesn't transfer. She's going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. They told this lady, look, we don't. OK, what you said was cool. But we believe not because of what you said, but because we heard it for ourselves. And no, underline no. Now we are convinced that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's incredible. Underline that. The Savior of the world. Now we believe, not because of what she said, not because of what the pastor said, but because they got into the word themselves. You cannot get into the word. That's why most people don't get into the word, because it will change your life. You cannot spend time with Jesus Christ and it not affect your life. It will affect your life. It will change your life. This word will change your life. Many of us are witnesses to that. Because trust me, a lot of us didn't want to change. Most of us came kicking and screaming, if not all of us. The last thing I wanted to do, I rededicated my life in college. That's the last place you want to rededicate your life, is in college. But God said different. Get it together right now. Got into the word, it changed my life. Roy, that's when we connected over to Maranatha right after that. Started going to Maranatha in college. I told my roommate, man, miss me with all that. I'm watching the Lakers and the Celtics. That was the 80s. That's when the Lakers and Celtics was on every Sunday. Yeah, yeah. Well, we know the Rockets had a little bit of time in that, Manny. The Rockets, y'all came through in the 80s. I think 81 y'all went, but I'm not going to be a historian right now, but I think y'all went in 81 and got beat by Boston. But we're not going to go there. Because, you know, the Lakers won in 80, then they won in 82. And then we won in 85, and then we won in 87 and 88. You know, but I ain't going there right now. But trust me, on Sunday morning, you had the matchup Lakers and Boston. You did not want to go to church. I tried to put it off. Number one, I just might have to change my life if I went. So you can't spend time with God and not have a changed life. And you can't go through someone else. It is very personal. We all have to have the desire for ourselves. Can't go through my parents. Can't go through my wife, my kids. Parents, you can't go through your kids. Your kids go to church. And, you know, you've talked to people and talked to guys. Hey, man, my wife goes to church every Sunday. Okay, I was talking about you. You can't go to your wife, brother. Oh, yeah, yeah, she sings in the choir. What about, man, my wife goes every Sunday. Well, it's not the same. Got to know Jesus Christ for yourself. He's the Savior of the world. Most people are looking for a hero. He's already here. Can live in your heart and your life. And we get to verse 43, and in Christ, he goes back to Galilee. Sometimes the toughest place to share is with your family. It says in verse 43. Now, after 2 days, he departed, he stayed there 2 days and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country, which means it's hard to be a witness to your family because they remember when and what you used to do and what you used to be like. And so they were telling him, you're just a carpenter. That's it. Aren't you Joseph's son, the carpenter? All of a sudden, you're God in the flesh, even his own brothers. But verse 45, then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him. Number one, make a note, you need to receive Christ. And having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem and the feasts, for they also went unto the feast. So they saw Jesus. They watched Jesus. They're watching you and I. Parents, your kids are watching you. Kids, your parents are watching you. Your family's watching. Your coworkers are watching you. You take 30 minutes to pray over a donut in the morning. Your coworkers are watching you. 30 minutes on a donut. Come on, y'all. It ain't that deep. It ain't that deep, y'all. And they watching you. Then they see that you the one get the pink slip and you cussing the boss out and you ready to fight. Same one praying 30 minutes over the donut. They watching you. They watched Jesus. They saw what he did. You're watching us. We've got to let our light shine. People can't argue with a changed life, though. There's a lot of things that can change your life. But make a note that only Christ is the one that can give you eternal life. I know people have gotten into things and false religions, and, you know, there's a change in their life. But make a note, it's just not a changed life, but it's Jesus Christ that gives you eternal life. You can't argue with a changed life. You can't. But the only one that changes and gives eternal life is Jesus Christ. So here's where I was trying to go for Communion Sunday, verse 46. So when Jesus came into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water into wine, I ain't going to touch that one this morning, all right? Okay, if you want to drink your wine, it's in the Bible, okay. Just don't overdo it is what the Bible, I ain't going to touch that one this morning, all right? We see Jesus turn water into wine at the wedding. They drank it, okay. What can I say about that? But make a note, underline, there was a certain royal official. Underline, it's always certain. Not everybody, but it's certain people. Natalie, throw up John 5:5 just really quickly. John 5:5. And a certain man was there. This is the pool of Bethesda, which had an infirmity 38 years. A certain man. Okay, now back to 4:46. So always to make a note is certain. It's not everybody. Not everybody's going to come to Christ. Not everybody's going to turn their back on Christ, but it's just certain people. So you can't clump all people are like this. All, no, it's not. It's always certain people. It's not all rich people. It's not all poor people. It's not all black people. It's not all white people. It's not all tall people. It's not everyone. It's just certain people. You have to make sure you're one of the certain ones that's trusting Christ today. Make sure you're in that certain category. So it wasn't everybody, it wasn't all the royal officials, but there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. That's a tough one. Fathers, let me see your hand if you got a son. Amen. That's a tough one. When was the last time that you and I, that we begged God on behalf of our son? Just praying for our son. Here's this man. He has a title. He put the title to the side because he knows when it gets down to it, a title ain't going to save your son. A title ain't going to save nobody. You can have the biggest title in the world and your son gets sick and that title ain't going to do nothing for him. Puts all titles to the side. Put all pride to the side. Your pride will prevent you from reaching God. Forget all that. My son is getting ready to die. I'm going after God. And I'm begging God. I'm not just praying, but right now I'm begging God. When was the last time you begged God on behalf of your daughters or your parents? Our husbands on behalf of your wife. When was the last time you begged God on behalf of your wife and wives on behalf of your husband? When was the last time you begged God? That time in the morning is so important. It's the begging time. Not just praying. Sometimes you can pray, but other times you got to beg. He said, look, my son is getting ready to die. I ain't messing around, Roy. My son is on. And you all, you know, you guys have a son. It's like, but even with your daughters. I don't know which is more special. I have both. I don't know which is more special. I would say they're both equally as special. JL, yeah, you are. No, JL. Well, you are, JL. The other two aren't here, so hey, you are, JL. You're the most special, okay? Let's clear that right now, okay? But it pulls on your heart. Because we know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us a reset and a do-over regardless of what we've been through. Hit that reset button. God, I need a reset. Yeah, I got to deal with some consequences, God, but I know that you can reset me and things will end on a positive. So I got to read this. I put read this in my notes a couple of times. So let me read it. It says, not everyone is humble enough to seek God and beg God on behalf of someone else. pride will prevent you from, you and I, from humbling ourselves and submitting, surrendering to God. Whether it's behalf on you, it's your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, your marriage, your pastor, your church, your family, your siblings, your co-workers. Pride will have you say things like this. Well, that's what they get. Really? As if we deserve anything but hell ourselves. Amen. Here it is. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve, and God's mercy prevents us from getting what we do deserve. We don't want to play that's what you get game with God. Trust me, we don't want to play that game. Let me read that again. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve, and God's mercy prevents us from getting what we do deserve. You don't want to play that's what you get game with God. You don't. Well, trust me, you don't. Says, my son is getting ready to die. Verse 47. You fill in the blank. My dreams are getting ready to die. It's getting ready to die. Jesus, I need you. You fill in the blank. Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, do you need a sign and wonders so that you can believe? So Jesus is asking us this morning, do you need a sign so that you can believe? Other than you getting up in the morning, other than the sun going down and rising, other than breathing in oxygen and breathing out carbon dioxide, other than gravity, other than the grace of God, do you need a sign this morning to believe? What more? This is what Jesus asked. What more do you need to believe? Do you need a sign? It says, read this again. Do you need a sign to surrender your life to me today is what Jesus is saying. Do you need a sign to trust me with that situation, with that decision, with that certain individual? Do you need a sign to trust me with your life, your marriage, your children, your church, your family? Do you need a sign? Or can you take communion this morning and walk away knowing that I've already worked it out? So he's asking you, do you need a sign this morning? And then look what he says in verse 49. Let me paraphrase verse 49. He says, I don't know about all that. All I know is that my son is getting ready to die. The nobleman said unto him, man, my son is getting ready to die. I don't know all that you're talking about. I just know I need some help. Okay. Verse 50. Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. Can you believe this morning that God has it all covered and then go on your way? Can you and I do that? Because once we get out the doors, the war is on. Right in here, the easiest time to live for God is Sunday morning between 9 and 10:30. Somebody say amen. Because once I get out there, everything that this word has spoke to me, I don't know if I can believe. Right now, I think I'm pretty good. Right now, I think I'm pretty good. Read this. Okay, it says it again. Read this. All right. Can you believe the word of God this morning and go on your way? Out of these doors and leave the details to God. Can you submit, surrender, trust, and commit to God this morning and walk out these doors and leave the details to God? Can you and I do that? Can you believe in God today and never pick that thing or that person up again? Can you give that secret thing to God this morning and walk out of these doors and leave it on the altar, never to be brought up again? Can you believe and know that God has healed it, completed it, sealed it, and settled it? Can you do that this morning? Amen. That's why I said read this, so I wouldn't get it mixed up. Let's finish this up. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, the servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. God's worked it out. Wow. But look at this. I love this, man. I love the word, how just so strategic God is and just how confirming God is. Verse 52, then inquired of him, he of them, the hour. Man, when did it begin to turn around? And he said unto them, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour. See, God, Jesus don't even have to need to be there for it to work. Jesus gives you the word. He's already, the thing that you prayed about, the thing you and I are thinking about right now, God's already working it out. And you and I don't even have to be there. But look at the, all right, so here's my question in verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour. What the song say, late in the midnight hour? God's going to turn it around. And the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son liveth. But here it is. And himself believed and his whole house. So is that verse 53? Is it saying that when Jesus said it and he believed, or is it saying Jesus said it and then he believed and his whole house believed because his whole house wasn't there? Well, I've already told you the answer is in verse 50. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. So our faith in Jesus Christ, believing the word, committing, trusting, submitting to the word, God responds. The words here doesn't respond by itself unless you believe in it. And believe means trust, commit, submit, and surrender to it. But as soon as he believed and he committed to the word, things turned around. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did, because we know the first miracle was turning water to wine. So that's for you sipping saints. OK, y'all. I remember the first miracle he did. So y'all can put that together. All right. That was the first miracle. Sister Tara, I'm just playing, okay? I'm just playing. What was the first miracle? Jesus turned the water to wine. We know where you stand. That's all right. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Galilee, out of Judea into Galilee. And so then here is a miracle that we're getting ready to participate in, which is the miracle of communion, where he resurrected from the grave on that third day. So if you would just bow your heads quickly, we'll quickly take communion and dismiss. But here's another miracle, which he said, do this in remembrance of me. Natalie, I believe, is first. Pastor Manny, would you come up and serve this morning if you would? Where Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11, I believe it's 23. Sister Natalie. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. So think about it. He's betrayed. He takes bread. In verse 24 says he gives thanks. Go ahead, brothers. You can pass it out. Thanks, Big C. You guys do healer? Healer? Can you be the healer again? Please. Jesus said, do this. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. God never wants us to forget what he did for us. The physical price he had to pay for our spiritual freedom. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He knew we'd have issues. There'd be all kind of stuff going on. God says, keep your life in biblical perspective. Look at the world through the lens of a biblical perspective. Don't ever forget what God has done. Don't ever forget what it takes to believe in God and trust in God. Even when things reach the point of something dying. One of the biggest heartbreaks you can have is when something or someone dies. Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget that I love you, that I care for you, that I died for you, that through me you have eternal life with God. That God is our healer. He heals the broken hearts. He set the captives free. Thank you, Lord. If you would, elevate that which represents his body. Thank you, Lord. You paid a physical price for our spiritual freedom. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. And you told us never to forget what you've done so that we could be free. That we'll never take the grace of God for granted. We'll never take the resurrection for granted. You split time in half. You changed the calendar. The disciples turned the world upside down. They went from synagogues to churches overnight. 4,000 years of tradition overnight. We go to church now. We worship Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He resurrected on the third day. Do this in remembrance of me and never forget that. And here we are in 2017 inside of a church because of Jesus Christ. They just didn't pop up out of nowhere. Jesus Christ split time in half. The disciples turned the world upside down. And God, here we are to say thanks. And just as we've asked you to forgive us, Lord, we forgive anyone who we might be holding aught against. Your word says there's no way we can ask you to forgive us if we haven't forgiven others. God, we believe that if we operate in forgiveness, you will work out the details. The same night that you were betrayed, you gave thanks. While you were on the cross, the first thing you said out of the last seven was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So God, we release anyone we might be holding. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But we thank you that you did know what you were doing when you died on that cross. You were saving us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Giving us a way back to God. Giving us a bridge back to God. Hallelujah. And you resurrected on that third day in all power and authority. We thank you for your healing power, Lord. Go on and eat which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. The book of Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thank you, Lord. There's no way we could be saved unless you covered our sins with your precious blood. You did for us, as Pastor Manny said, as your word says, you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. I don't care how good we act, how good we want to be, how good we think we are. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot cover our own sins. We can confess and forsake that we might find mercy. Accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for covering our sins, past, present, and future. We couldn't be free from sin without you. So we elevate that which represents your blood that was shed on that cross that covered us. We'll never forget. Thank you, Lord. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live for you. Thank you for dying on the cross for us so we could be free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass your cups to the center aisle. Yes, yes. Yes. And stand to your feet, family. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed.
I believe you're my portion.